Praise God. You can remain standing. We're going to sing. His word is like a fire.
His word is like fire, shut up in my bones. A power that comes down from on high. It makes me shout, it makes me sing unto the everlasting King. Word is like a fire in my bones. His word is like a fire, shut up in my bones. A power that comes down from on high. It makes me shout, it makes me sing unto the everlasting King. Word is like a fire in my soul. His word is like a fire, shut up in my bones. A power that comes down from on high. It makes me shout, it makes me sing unto the everlasting King. Word is like a fire in my soul. His word is like a fire, shut up in my bones. The power that comes down from on high. It makes me shout, it makes me sing unto the everlasting King. Word is like a fire in my soul. His word is like a fire, shut up in my bones. The power that comes down from on high. It makes me shout, it makes me sing unto the everlasting King. Word is like a fire in my soul. Well, it's all over me and it's keeping me alive. Keeping me alive, keeping me alive. Well, it's all over me and it's keeping me alive. Jesus is keeping me alive. It's that Holy Ghost and fire, and it's keeping me alive. Keeping me alive, keeping me alive. It's that Holy Ghost and fire, and it's keeping me alive. Keeping me alive. Well, it's all over me and it's keeping me alive. Keeping me alive. Keeping me alive. Well, it's all over me and it's keeping me alive. Jesus is keeping me alive. It's that Holy Ghost and fire, and it's keeping me alive. It's that Holy Ghost and fire, and it's keeping me alive. Jesus is keeping me alive.
Thank you, my Lord Jesus, my God. I praise you, Lord. I thank you. Thank you for that power that we have in your spirit, Lord Jesus. I love you, my God, and I praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, my God. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, my God. Praise God. You may be seated. But let's sing song number 131. I'll bless thee, O Lord.
I will bless thee, O Lord. I will bless thee, O Lord, with a heart of thanksgiving. I will bless thee, O Lord, with my hands lifted up, my mouth filled with with the heart of thanksgiving. We'll bless thee, O Lord. I will bless thee, O Lord. I will bless thee, O Lord. with the heart of thanksgiving. I will bless thee, O Lord, with my hands lifted up, my mouth filled with praise, with the heart of I will bless thee, O Lord. I will bless thee, O Lord. I will bless thee, O Lord. With a heart of thanksgiving, I will bless thee, O Lord. With my hands lifted up, my mouth filled with praise, with the heart of thanksgiving, I will bless thee, O Lord.
Jesus, my God, I praise you, Lord. I'm so thankful for this opportunity to gather together and to give you that worship and your praise that you deserve, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, my God. I praise you, Lord. Praise you, my God. Praise God. Let's sing song number 217, Light the Light.
Oh, light the light. In the corner where you are, oh, light the light. Let it shine right through your heart, oh, light the light. It will drive away the dark. Everybody do your part and light the light. Oh, light the light. In the corner where you are, oh, light the light. Let it shine right through your heart, oh, light. It will drive away the dark. Everybody do their part and light the light. Oh, light the light. In the corner where you are, oh, light the light. Let it shine right through your heart, oh, light the light. It will drive away the dark. Everybody do your part and light the light. Oh, light the light. In the corner where you are, oh, light the light. It will shine away the light. It will drive away the dark. Everybody do your part and light the light.
One more time. Praise you, Lord. I love you tonight, Lord Jesus, and ask you to let me be that light for you in this world, my God. I love and I praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah, my God. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Praise God. You may be seated. Lori.
God's house tonight again. We're going to sing the song that we sang at camp, and it's 2 months after we first sang this song, and it's a really unusual thing. Normally, we get to sing those new songs right away and in service, but things happen, and things upset the apple cart, and change happens, and we adapt to it as we can, and I just want to thank God for being in control all the time, that we have a need for things to be under control. And sometimes we can't see all the ways that he has that done for us, but we can put our trust in him. And, and know that he knows all things. He's able for all things that we need, and he's paying attention all the time. Doesn't take any breaks from that for us. And I'm so grateful for it. I just want to lean into it, and that's kind of what this song is about. I give him glory tonight, and hope you'll continue to worship too.
Testimonies for these next two songs. I never shall forget the day and I found a new life. I never shall forget the day when all the burdens of my soul were rolled away. It made me happy, glad and free. I'll sing and shout it, for he's everything to me. I never shall forget the day when all the burdens of my soul were rolled away. It makes me happy, glad and free. I sing and shout it, for he's everything to me. I never shall forget the day.
burdens of my soul were rolled away. It makes me happy, glad and free. I'll sing and shout it, for he's everything to me. I never shall forget the day when all the burdens of my soul were rolled away. It makes me happy, glad and free. I'll sing and shout it, for he's everything to me. I found a new life, I found a new life. Anybody asks you what's the matter with me, my friend, tell them that I've been saved, sanctified, Holy Ghost filled and water baptized in Jesus' name. I found a new life, I found a new life, I found a new life.
I thank you for that gift of the Holy Ghost and that new life that we have in you, that life eternal with you with us, my God. I love and I praise you, Jesus. I thank you, my God. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, my God. Praise God. You may be seated. All right. So I'm going to sing one last song. This is a special song. Name is Anchor. And it's just about remembering that you've got God there with you in all things. If you're in the Sunday school, you can head out over to the Sunday school building.
Every season, in every change, you are near. In every sorrow, you are my strength, you are near. A peace in the storm, your voice I will follow. In weakness I will rise, remembering you are my world. I'm holding on to hope, holding on to grace, fully letting go, I'm surrendered to your ways. The anchor for my soul, Father, you will never change. I love you, I love you, my great Redeemer, my constant friend, you are near. My faithful Father, you took me in, you are near. A peace in the storm, your voice I will follow.
my world. I'm holding on to hope, holding on to grace, fully letting go. I'm surrendered to your ways. The anchor for my soul, Father, you will never change. I love you. Surrendered to your ways, the anchor for my soul, Father, you will never change. I love you, I love you.
Thank you, my Lord Jesus, my God. Thank you for all this beautiful. I praise you, my Lord. I thank you, my God. Hallelujah. Will you all please stand while Paul comes up and brings us the word of God?
The Lord, everybody. You may be seated. How is everybody doing today? Good. Glad to be here. Any place else you'd rather be? Not I. Good afternoon, and we want to welcome everybody to the Apostolic Assembly of Jesus Christ here in Soldotna, Alaska. Our afternoon service. We want to welcome our online folks and our visitors. We're really glad that you found a time in your busy schedule to be with us today. We're here to worship God and hopefully learn a little bit more about Him and ourselves. So sit back and enjoy. I'm just looking out. I'm just in one of them smiley moods today. I can't help it. I got that Holy Ghost joy, and I can't get rid of it. I don't want to get rid of it, actually. One thing I want to thank God for, praise Him, we got first place in the parade with our float. So thanks for all your hard work, and God sure blessed your efforts because we got first place. And I want to thank everybody for their hard work and diligence and long hours and everything they've spent in their music and set up and take down and everything it took to make Praise in the Park a success. And that was pretty special. And I want to thank you all for that. Keep Buck in your prayers. He's not doing very well. He was doing pretty good this morning, but he had that implant in his back. It doesn't seem to be helping him much. And he's not getting any younger. I think his back problems have got to be getting worse. I mean, he's had back problems for, 25, 30 years. So he was all dressed and ready to come today and couldn't even hardly walk. So please keep him in your prayers. He told me to apologize to everybody because he's not here, but he doesn't have anything to apologize for. If he could be here, he'd be here. Oh, we want to keep, we all know how bad it is in the world right now, especially from Louisiana to New York, COVID, Afghanistan. I mean, there's people laying down their life right now for God. And praise God, we still got the freedom to worship and bless him in this world here without somebody knocking on our door and dragging us out for living for God. And that's, I don't know how long that'll be, but according to the scriptures, it could be in the next few years, we could be in the same situation. So my advice to me and everybody else is get as close to God as you can and stay there. Because God is really the only hope that this world's got. And, you know, all your life you try this, you do that, you go there, you try to acquire this and that. But in the end, what would a man or a woman give for their soul? I mean, this is not what it's all about. This is a testing and proving grounds to where we're going to spend eternity. 100 years here is a long time. Eternity, we can't even fathom that. But that's what this is. And the older I get, the more evident that is in my life that life goes by fast. I'm going to be 77 years old, and I want to wear to the last 25 years ago. I mean, it's the older you get, the faster it goes. And the older you get, the more inventory you start taking about where am I at? What's this all about? Where am I going to wind up? And we know, according to the scriptures, there's one God and one faith and one baptism. There's only one way. And this church here is not the only one that's got the only one way. But it's right here in this book. This Bible, God's got an exact salvation plan, and no matter where you're at, you have to follow that. And if they don't teach what the Bible teaches in the book of Acts about salvation, receiving the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues, that give you the newness of life, to give you the power to live an overcoming life, then you need to go somewhere that does. Because where you're going to spend eternity should be important enough to you to look into it for yourself, not take a preacher's word for it. What's it say in God's word? Today I'm going to talk a little bit about, the name of this teaching is going to be, what's your reaction? But the gist of it is, when God's word or his spirit is dealing with you, what is your reaction to that? Are you sensitive towards that? Are you submissive to that? Are you humble and meek to what God wants for you in your life? Or are you defensive, angry when somebody brings something to your attention, in denial about the things that you know aren't pleasing to God, but you won't look at yourself. You'll find every other way, excuse to not look at yourself. And we know that each and every one of us have to give an account for our lives, not our wives, not our husbands, not our aunts, not our uncles. Us, one-on-one with God, how we lived our life in this world. It says you have to give an account for every idle word that comes out of your mouth. That's what's so beautiful about this salvation plan. The day you get baptized, all that stuff is, all the things that you've done in your whole life are washed away. You get to start anew. And then he fills you with the Holy Ghost and gives you the power to live a holy life. You can't live the life that this Bible teaches you have to live without the infilling of the Holy Ghost. It's impossible. But praise God, he made a way. And we can all change. I don't think I've ever met anybody that didn't want to change something in their life. Yeah, you know, some of my notes are, humble yourself in the spirit of meekness. And it's very pleasing to God when we're like that. When we get stiff-necked and, you know, stubborn, then God has to raise the bar a little bit. God doesn't do anything to hurt us, and he doesn't deal with us any harsher than he has to. But if we won't listen, that bar just keeps coming up until he finally gets your attention or has to cut you away. And nobody wants to go there, especially after you've found the truth. I read a little, you know, I think I heard it in a song, but it says, Lord, help me to be better a person than I've ever been, and make me your friend. I mean, wouldn't you like to have God say that about you? That you're a friend of God? And how are you going to be a friend of God if you don't have the power to be that way? And then use that power to change your life. So we're going to look at a few scriptures here, and we're going to look at two different reactions here. One where the person was in denial and tried to get around it. And the other one was, what can I do, Lord? What do I have to do to change? So we'll start out in Samuel, 1 Samuel, the 15th chapter. First Samuel, the 15th chapter, we'll start out in verse 17. And Samuel said, he was a prophet of God. Samuel said, when thou wast little in thine own sight, wasn't thou made the head of the tribes of Israel, and the Lord anointed thee king over Israel? Now this is talking about when Saul was a humble man. God could do and use him in any way he wanted to. But now we go on here and we see what happened to him after he got into authority for a while. Pretty soon his natural started taking over. Pretty soon he started getting puffed up. Pretty soon he started getting, I know better than God. If God's word says something, that's what we need to do. We don't need to expound on God's word. He doesn't make mistakes, we do. Verse 18, and the Lord sent thee on a journey and said, go and utterly destroy the sinners, that the Amalekites, and fight against them until they be consumed. Wherefore then thou did not obey the voice of the Lord, but did fly upon the spoil and did evil in the sight of the Lord. So God told Saul to go there and just totally destroy everything. No, he did not do that. He started taking all the goodies there. Their livestock, their gold or silver and all that. And he was just totally disobedient to God. And you don't get away with that. God might not deal with you right then, but he's going to deal with you if you're disobedient. Verse 20, and Saul said unto Samuel, yeah, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord and have gone the way which the Lord sent me and have brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took of the spoil sheep and oxen and the chief of things which should have been utterly destroyed to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal. When you're a leader, you're in charge of a group of people, or a pastor or a mayor or anything, your responsibility is not to go with the people want to do. You go with what's right. And so right away he starts trying to blame the people for this. It's not the people's fault, it's his fault. He should have stopped that and did what God wanted to do, and he would have been all right. It reminds me of Adam and Eve when Adam ate of the fruit of the garden. And then when God confronted him with it, he says, oh, that woman you gave me, God. Well, Adam had a free choice. He didn't have to blame her, but he did. He tried to get out of it. And that's just human nature. That's how our nature is. We don't want to. If there's a way out, we're going to try to find it sometimes. I'm just as guilty as anybody else. But that's what this word's all about. You look in here and you see what's pleasing to God and what's not pleasing to God, then he gives you the power to change. You do not have to act like this. That's what's really neat about the Old Testament. It's a natural example that we can understand the spiritual part of the New Testament. And I love God for that, especially because he lays it out for you. He gives you a chance to change, gives you the power to change. It shows you the mistakes other people made, and you don't have to make them. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Verse 22, and Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in the burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. So we know that obedience is the number one thing in God's agenda. We need to be obedient. The rest of the stuff takes care of itself. Verse 23, for rebellion is as sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he has also rejected thee from being king. He's dealing pretty harshly with him, but he's supposed to be leading God's people. So I remember, I think it was Buck one time, it was Buck, telling me, if God chastises you with a switch, he uses a baseball bat on me. And that's true. When you're in a position of authority, there's a lot of responsibility. And if you put something out there that causes the congregation to stumble, anything that causes them a problem because of your action or reaction, God holds you accountable for that. So there's a double blessing for those that lead you in the right way and a double damnation if they don't. And these preachers that get up behind this pulpit and don't teach the truth, they got a lot to answer for one of these days. I mean, all you get up here behind here and talk about money, that's all you talk about is money. You don't say one thing about this salvation plan, you're asking for trouble. I mean big trouble. Payday's coming. And we want to be on the right side of the fence on that one. Verse 24, and Saul said unto Samuel, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandments of the Lord and thy words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. Now therefore, I pray thee, pardon my sin and turn again with me, that I may worship the Lord. And Samuel said unto Saul, I will not return unto thee, for thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord has rejected thee from being king over Israel. Now, that wasn't the end of him. He could have repented, really repented, because if you read the whole story, he did repent for a little while, but he got jealous of David because he got set in as king, tried to kill him, did all kinds of things. So he wound up losing out with God in the end. His pride is what got him, his pride. But God would have given him a chance. He could have lived a holy life pleasing to God, not being king, but he made the choice that, hey, I'm going to kill this David because he's taking my place. But anyway, that's a whole different story there, and I kind of want to get off my track here. So that's the negative side of listening to God's word. Let's go over to the positive side. See how somebody that's spiritual, that really wants to please God, how do they react to this stuff? When God pulls on their heartstrings and tells them, hey, I mean, there's a lot of times you think you're all right until God starts showing you maybe you're not as right as you thought you were. Let's go to the book of Acts, the 9th chapter, and we start out in verse 1. We're talking about Paul here. But at that time, he was Saul. This is before he got converted. Acts, the 9th chapter, verse 1. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest, and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any on the way, whether they were men or women, he would bring them bound into Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell on the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And here's what everybody that was ever born should say to God when he's dealing with them. And he said, "Who art thou, Lord?" And the Lord said, "I am Jesus whom thou hast persecuted. Is it hard for thee to kick against the pricks?" Them pricks are when God's trying to get your attention. He'll needle you a little bit. Pretty soon he might have pushed you a little bit more, but he'll do all he can to get our attention. It's up to us to pay attention and be submissive. He only wants what's best for us, man. That's I'm talking about when I'm up here preaching, I'm taking my own inventory. I'm thinking about all the little times in my life when God was pricking me and trying to get me to change my attitude and do something different, and I resisted it. And a lot of that stuff is because you don't know any better. That's a growing period for a while when you first come into God, first receive His Spirit. It gives you the power to actually look at the inner side of you, the intents of your heart. I mean, we don't have the power to do that without God. It hurts too bad, for one thing. It hurts to really look and see what we're really like, because then we got to change. But if God doesn't show it to us, how are we going to change? But He gives us the power to change so we can live a holy life and spend eternity with Him. That's what this is all about. It's all about getting us ready to spend eternity with Him. This is real. This is not a fairy tale. All my life, it was taught to me like it was way out there somewhere, that God was here or there, and just had to believe and all that. Until I got the Holy Ghost. It was like me walking around the corner, and there He was, standing right there looking at me. It was that real. I cried for happy, and I cried for... I couldn't believe it, man. I still can't. Every time I think about it, I get choked up, man. It's a supernatural feeling. It's a supernatural experience, and only He can give it to you. Money can't buy it. Nothing. There's no way you can get it. He says, "You'll find me when you seek me with all your heart, with all your soul, with a contrite spirit and humble. I'll be there for you." That's the only requirement. But just... I was a hardcore person. It took me 3.5 months to get the Holy Ghost. My wife walked in there the first night and got it. But where are you going to go? Once you find out about this truth, where are you going to go? If you're one of God's, you've got to find out. If this is real, man, I got to have it. If it's not, I'll know that too. I mean, when I heard about this, I've been around preachers and been raised in certain religions and all that for 33 years. Most of the time I've seen a lot of hypocrisy and stuff that I didn't think was right, but I knew God was real and I didn't want Him to get mad at me, so I didn't question anything. But I never heard about receiving the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues. You could change your life, man. You can change from the inside out, and you could be happy for the first time in your life. You can have joy unspeakable and full of glory. I never knew that was even possible. I didn't even know what joy was like till I got the Holy Ghost. And I've never quit. I've never quit thanking Him for it. Never quit trying to draw closer to Him for it. I want to be His friend. I want to be His friend every day. Amen. Man. What a wonderful life living for God. I was going to testify last week, but we had praise in the park that August 26th, 1978, my wife and I and son landed here in Alaska. The only reason we came here was to check out this church. If it wasn't real, I probably wouldn't be here right now. But if it was real, I had to have it. If this was real, I'd give me some of this action. Because I felt about like Rambo. I don't know what I'd be doing today. I wouldn't be around today. But the way the world's going right now, the things that are going on with this beautiful world, the country especially we live in, the things that are happening here, if my dad was alive, a World War II veteran, he would not be able to take it. There's no way. So many people have laid down their lives for the freedoms and things we have now. And it's just from one end of the country to the other. It's just crazy. But thank God, he does make a way out for his people. And this is an awesome time to be able to reach people, to get their attention, that, hey, things are happening. These things are in the Bible. These are prophecy. These things line up with the Word of God. And I don't know if it's going to happen 10 years from now or 10 minutes from now, but it's going to happen. Everything else that's been written in this book happened. And this last little bit's going to happen too. And you want to be ready. Whether you're just hearing about it or you've had it for 40 years or 50 years, it's a daily thing. You have to renew your love for God every day. When you get up in the morning, that should be the first thing on your mind. When you go to bed at night, it should be the last thing on your mind. How did I do today, Lord? How did I do? If you messed up, he'll show you that you messed up. But he'll also forgive you if you're quick to say, hey, I'm sorry, I did wrong. Sometimes it's just you don't think. But that's what the communion's for. We don't take advantage of it, but that's what it's for. We got a wonderful God. He's a loving, wonderful God. He don't want any of us to fail. If we fail, it's because of us. It's not never going to be because of him. And he's long-suffering with us, but he does have a breaking point. And if our pride gets in there, I guess your pride is probably one of the biggest things that will take you down. When you just will not, you get self-righteous and you need, hey, I'm okay. I was studying one time about some of the things that are probably the worst things that can happen to a church or whatever. I can't remember what the topic was, but I was studying, and what I started coming up with, one of the biggest problems in the church today, especially today, is self-righteousness, because you can't reach them. You cannot reach people that are self-righteous because they don't think there's anything wrong with them. God can't get to them. You can preach all you want to them, but if they think they're above that, you might as well be talking to that wall. And that's going to be a sad, sad day for some people. And hopefully somewhere along the line, God will get their attention and it'll change. Verse 6, and he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? That's the punchline right there. When God deals with you, instead of making excuses, trying to get around it, somebody else's fault, whatever. What will you have me to do, Lord? What do I got to do to get right with you? And he's right there to show you and love you and hug you and help you get through whatever you got to get through. And then you'll be on a mountaintop for a while. Then you have to go through something else. But hey, it's all about growing. If you're not growing, you're dying. You don't get complacent in God. You gotta keep going, man. You don't come in here and get the Holy Ghost and sit in that pew. That's not going to get it. There's no pew sitters in God. You come in here, you get the Holy Ghost, he's got a job for you to do. He's got gifts for you, callings in your life, and they need to be used. You know, they need to be used in a unity and a trust in each other that goes along with that. Because there's strength in numbers. And what's the Bible say? It talks about something about 2 is 10,000 and 1 is 1,000 and 2 is 10,000. That's how God's multiplication works. So we need each other. We want to be with each other anyway. I mean, God puts that love with you. You want to be around your brothers and sisters. I do. I love being around God's people. I can tell you right now, I'd rather be around them than anywhere else. And we help each other, you know. I mean, help each other spiritually and naturally. It's a wonderful life living for God with his people. And, you know, to have real friends. I mean, I had a lot of acquaintances before I started living for God. I never had that many real, I only probably had a couple of people that I could really trust that had my back. And in God, I've never felt that way. I've had many, many people that I trusted and didn't have to worry about them not doing right by me. But by the same token, I try to do the same for them. And that's how it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be a give and take, not always taken. But because he loves us, he lays us out so we can read it in his word. He gives us the power to do it, and we can help each other out, and we can all get there. We don't want to leave anybody behind. I'm going to read verse 6 again. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city. It shall be told thee what thou must do. And Paul wound up being probably one of the, well, I would say he's pretty close, if not the number one apostle in this Bible. He did a lot in this Bible, suffered more than anybody that I know of in there. Because he said, Lord, what would you have me to do? That's all he said. And then he went on and fulfilled his callings, just like we have to go on and fulfill ours. Let's go to First John. First John, first chapter, verse 9. Just a couple verses there real quick. First John, the first chapter, verse 9 and 10. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. So his word says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Even after you get the Holy Ghost, you're going to fall. Every once in a while, you fall quite a bit when you first get it. But after you go for a while, you shouldn't be falling very often. It shouldn't be the same thing all the time. But we're going to have to admit we're wrong to the day that trumpet sounds in one area or another. If we do it quickly and do it the right way, God's quick to forgive us, and we go on. We don't lose any ground. But if we hang on to it and find excuses for it and try to blame somebody else, not going to work. It's like that saying goes, today is the first day of my new life. That's how I feel every day when I wake up. It don't make any difference what I did yesterday. I put that behind me. If it's good or bad, I put it behind me. You can't pat yourself on the back because you did something good for God. I've been guilty of this thing myself, and I thought about it when I was praying the other day about this is an all-volunteer army. I mean, I've made that statement before. Well, hey, this is an all-volunteer army. But you know what a blessing that is to be in this army? There's millions and millions of people that don't even know about this army. So if you're blessed enough to be in this army, you should be thankful, not like you're doing God a favor. We don't do God favors. We do things to show our appreciation, our thanksgiving towards God, not doing any favor because we did this or did that. It also talks about doing things in private, not patting yourself on the back. You do things in private, he says, I will reward you openly when he wants to, not when we want to get out in front and all that thing. You know, have a little pat in the back and, hey, there he is or there she is and she did great things and all that. If God wants that to happen, it'll happen. But we do all things unto God, and it's up to him to pat us on the back when he wants to. Let's go to Matthew, the 28th chapter. So now we've repented of the things that we knew that we should have repented of, or just saw that God wants us to change. And so here's one of his promises to us. Matthew, the 11th chapter and verse 28. And who doesn't want to experience this right now in this day and age, the things that are going on? Verse 28, come unto me, all ye that are labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Suicide rate is up in this world beyond drug abuse, alcohol abuse, sexual abuse, minors, just on and on and on, the things that are going on right now. He says, I want to give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. I'm meek and humble. I'm easy to be entreated. I'm not easily offended. When somebody looks at me wrong or somebody says something, I don't bark right back at them. Meekness, there's a lot of different sides to meekness. A meek person is a good listener. You say, oh, I know that. You know, when you're trying to talk to somebody, they take over the conversation. When you got something that's fairly important, would you want to share with them? Most people will just be quiet. If you're like that, they'll just let you talk. And they'll say, oh, yeah, well, have a nice day, and they'll leave. You don't know one thing about them. All you know is about what you wanted to say to them. You don't know anything about what they had in their mind. Or if they wanted to share something, you could pray for them or help them a little bit. You'll never find that out because you took the conversation over. You need to listen once in a while in the spirit of meekness. That's hard to find. But it's a beautiful thing when you do find it. I'm going to read verse 29 again. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest in your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. If we trust God and have faith in God that He's going to take care of all these things that happen in our life, we've got to go through the motions, but we don't have to be downcast and perplexed and all these things. There's things you can't do nothing about them. God puts us in a position sometimes, I don't care who you are, you can't do nothing about it. You have to trust Him then. But you know how good that makes Him feel when you trust Him, but it's not anything that you can't do? That's got to make Him feel good, man. That I trust you, Lord, no matter what. I trust you. I'm not going to get all stressed out about this or that. I mean, there's a lot of things going on in families, your everyday life, problems, work, school, your children. I mean, if you're a parent, you got children. You got children who grow up and they go out in the world and go to work or go to school or whatever. I mean, you worry about them. As a parent, boy, especially in this day and age, it's tough being a parent. I mean, that social media and all the different things that are out there, Satan uses to get their attention. And believe me, he don't miss a trick. And he doesn't go to sleep. He's worked 7/24s. So you don't let your guard down with him. And I don't think we realize just how strong that spirit of Satan is in this world. I mean, even the Bible teaches that it's the only thing stronger than him is God and God's spirit. So if you don't stay full of that Holy Ghost and close to God, you're easy pickings for Satan. You'll put thoughts in your mind and pretty soon they'll escalate. And pretty soon you got a problem with this or that. That's just one way. There's a million ways that he works on us. He knows us. He knows our personalities. He knows what we like and don't like. He knows how to get to us. He knows how to cause division. I read something about meekness. It was something about being submissive and I can't remember what it was. Being submissive, but trusting God no matter what, but not holding a grudge, not having an attitude about something, even if it was wrong. See, the thing about it is we should be long-suffering to each other and suffer ourselves to be defrauded. The only thing that really could change any of that is if it's actual sin against it. If it's somebody's personality or they want to do something or don't want to do something or whatever, and we get an attitude and we don't want to be around them and all that, that's not right. Now, if they're actually sinning against us, that's a different story. But even at that, we need to pray for each other. Let's go to the positive side of living for God. I say positive because we got all these things that we need to change and stuff, but if we stay close to him, this is our reward. This is what we're working for. This is what we're living for. Let's go to John, the 14th chapter, verse 1. Our God's a positive God, but he has to show us the negative parts of our natural nature that need to change so we can become positive too. We need to be positive in a negative world, a light in darkness. They should see something in us that they want. When I walked in them doors the first time, I almost made a new doorway. I never heard anybody pray out loud, never been exposed to anything like this. But the first person I looked in their eyes and whoa, they got something and I gotta have it. I need whatever they got, I gotta have it, man. So I was scared. I just about, like I said, I almost went through that wall there. Or not that one, the one over here. My wife grabbed a hold of me and said, "What's going on here?" I guess, "I don't know." But I didn't drive 5,000 miles and sell everything I had not to check it out. Here I am 43 years later. He's a God of miracles. If he can give me, he can get anybody. I mean that too. I'm not bragging about it. I'm making it a fact. John, the 14th chapter, verse 1. Let's go down to verse 6 anyway. "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you into myself. And where I am, there you may be also." That's where we want to wind up for eternity, right there. And heaven's not just sitting up on a cloud. You read the book of Revelation, you find out that heaven's nothing like that. It says that, well, I'll go into that scripture. I don't get ahead of myself here. "And where I go, whither I go, you know, and the way you know." And Thomas said, who know whether thou goest, and how can we know the way? And Jesus said unto them, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." So Jesus made a way for us by hanging on that cross. He made that perfect sacrifice, that blood offering for the sins of mankind, and open that door back up where we could be friends with God again. Friends. He said, "You're friends because I share things with my friends, and he shares with his friends." Once you come into this family of God, you're God's friend. You're the only one who can put that separation in there. Let's go to 1 Corinthians, the 2nd chapter, verse 9. I just about said this scripture before I got to it. Praise the Lord. He gave me a little squeeze there, so I backed off a little bit. Hey, everybody having a good time? Smile. This is exciting to me because I know that I've worked for 43 years, and this is going to happen, and I'm going to be part of this, and so are you. You've been here 5 minutes or 50 years, you can be part of this. All it takes is a willing heart. God won't let you down, man. That's what I was telling somebody a while back. Just give God a break, okay? Give him a chance to show you what he's really all about. Just give him a chance with an open heart. And I guarantee you, God will show you that this is true right here. What the scriptures you've seen today or read today, they are straight from God. And he will show you by his word and by his spirit that everything in here is real. You take all your excuses away. If you don't make it to heaven after you've looked into this here, it's your own fault. He wants you to know what's going on. He says, "It's not my will that anybody should perish." If you hear about this stuff, then you're obligated to do something about it. That's all. But hey, I knew God was real. I didn't know nothing about this. But when I found out about being that, getting the power to change, I'm not kidding you, I was just one big goosebump for half an hour after I heard the power to change. Because I really tried hard to change. It wasn't getting it, man. I'd do all right for a while, but then I'd fall flat in my face. I'd go out in the woods and cry, why, I don't want to be like this. I couldn't do nothing about it. My wife was reading the Bible, she'd tell me, I was working construction, she'd tell me, hey, you go to work and this is how you're supposed to act. Man, I'd go out there and try to be a nice guy, them guys would eat me alive. Man, that was tough. But I didn't understand for one thing. I didn't have the power, and I didn't have the understanding of human nature, why people act the way they do, why they say the things they do. 99% of the things people say, they don't mean to hurt you. You know, they just don't. They don't think about it. There's very few people who are just out to hurt you. But when you've been hurt a few times, you put them defenses up, and pretty soon nobody can get to you. You know, you're not going to hurt me again. But in God, you can't do that. You have to let your guard down. And when you do, you have to trust Him. That's one of the ways you guys have faith and trust in God. And we're talking about this right now, but it won't be 5 minutes out this door, and that'll come upon us in one way or the other, whether you trust God or not. Do you trust Him a little bit, or do you trust Him with every part of your life? We need to trust Him with every part of our life. We need to trust Him for our families, for our children, for everything. Everything that our physical issues, everything. He says, I know the numbers of the hairs on your head. You know, when I know one sparrow falls from the tree. If He knows all that stuff, He definitely knows exactly. If He knows, just think about that. Every human being that was ever born, He knew the numbers of the hairs on their head. Now you try to digest that for a minute. You think He can't take care of one of your little problems at work, at home, school? Yeah, He can take care of them. Second chapter, 1 Corinthians 2nd chapter, verse 9. But as it is written, eye has not seen nor ear heard, neither has entered into the hearts of man the things that God has prepared for them that love Him. And He says, if you love Me, you obey My words. But God has revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yeah, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of man save the Spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. So if you have the Spirit of God inside you, you have this understanding. I remember reading this Bible without the Holy Ghost, and man, I'll tell you what, I had just put it back in the nightstand. Because I just couldn't understand it. But it says even a wayfaring man can understand enough about it for salvation. They can understand the first two chapters of the book of Acts. And after that, after you got that power, the rest of the Bible is to show you how to live a spiritual life in a natural world. That's what it's all about. And then the last book is Revelation. It's about what's going to happen to this world. What's already been happening to this world, but the final scene is coming upon us. Verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, and that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but with the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual things. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Praise God, man. I can't get tongue-tied sometimes when I just get little flashes of just how much God loves us and how much He shows us and how much He wants us to understand His word and to be more like Him. This is a spiritual thing, man. It's an awesome thing, though. Oh, I got that little note on here. Lord, help me to be better than I've ever been. Make me your friend. I just covered up my last scripture with it, though. Let's go to Revelation, the 22nd chapter. You know, the thing about these scriptures are uplifting in a time when there's nothing positive coming across the news channels. Worldwide, it's chaotic from one end to the other. But God makes a way out. And it's a beautiful life while you're here, but it's going to be that much more beautiful when we get there. And all you got to do is obey His word. I love living for God, man. I love living for God. Man, I tell you what, to never have hope and to be in a place at one time when I had no hope at all. And to read these scriptures, man. The hope He's got in here for His people. For all mankind, if they'll listen. Man, what a loving God we got. We are among all people blessed to have a God like that. Amen. Chapter 22, verse 1, Revelations. And He showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there a tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse. But the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, and His servants shall serve Him. And they shall see His face, and His name shall be in their foreheads. Everybody that ever lived, or will live, will know that you're one of God's with that scripture right there. And there shall be no more night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun. For the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. And He said unto me, these things are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent this angel to show unto His servants the things which must shortly be done. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecies of this book. I'm excited, folks. I'm excited because God's made a way for us to get out of here. And the darker it gets, even though it's heartbreaking, the more hope we have that He's soon return. If you're not ready to go, this altar's open tonight. You can get ready to go. If you got things going on in your life and you need an extra prayer or two, this altar's open. If you just want to come up here and love God and pour your heart out to Him, tell Him how thankful you are, this altar's open. Thank you. I love you all. Have a good afternoon.
Praise God, this altar's open for you. It's your chance to